On this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
There's a negative feedback loop. You take testosterone, it's going to shut down your own production. Melatonin doesn't have that negative feedback loop. I had a bunch of cars that were old, and I were to go out into that city and change the cars so that they were more efficient, the pollution would be better. And that's ultimately what I think a lot of the listeners want, produce less pollution. Melatonin could be used with just about anybody looking to maximize their performance. And that's really what melatonin can offer you.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
All right, folks, here we go. Buckle up. It's my crazy doctor friend, John Lawrence, I got on the show today. He blew your mind on the last episode, and this one promises to be just as good. So I hope you enjoy. All right, folks. Well, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break a bad habit than quitting that bad habit, cold turkey. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor standing on a nail bed or something like that. I'm talking about this thing called Fume. This little thing called Fume holds a hallowed place in my fanny pack, actually. Been hitting up the maple pepper core in that thing quite a bit. So anyways, the Fume is not a vape. It's a flavored air device. You breathe natural flavors through it. Like I said, I got the maple pepper core loaded up in mine right now. Turns out black pepper really hits the spot, so I can feel satisfied without breathing in or chewing on anything bad. It's amazing. I've got another one called the crisp mint core, so I can breathe in mint flavored air rather than a pen infused with something else. You know what I mean? That kind of bad habit that isn't good for you. Instead, you just basically use this pen, and it is an essential oil pen. It's amazing. A flavored air device. You get the taste sensation and the fidget and that hand-to-mouth action, but you don't have to feel guilty about the habit. It's a good habit to have. They have a whole bunch of natural, delicious flavors. It's not a vape. Don't get me wrong. It's a natural air device. It's fully legal. It doesn't have anything bad in it. I even use it on an airplane. I get a few funny looks with people who think I'm vaping on an airplane, even though I'm not. It's just basically flavored air, and it tastes great. I found it made my cravings go out the window. It's weird. It's a crazy life hack, but it works, and it's super sexy and cool looking too. So it's called Fume, F-U-M. You can get 10% off this thing if you go to tryfume.com, tryfume.com. Use code BEN to save 10%. So you can accelerate humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up what's called their Journey Pack today. It has a whole bunch of cool flavors, including that crisp mint core and the maple pepper core, two of my favorites. So again, tryfume.com/BEN and use code BEN to save 10% off your order from Fume, F-U-M. All right, folks, you may have heard the recent podcast episode I recorded with this cat who designed a drink. His name is Zach Abbott. He designed a drink that you throw back, it's a little shot, and it digests the toxic byproducts of alcohol for you, meaning that you feel great the next day after you've been drinking. And while I only endorse holiday responsible drinking and responsible drinking in general, it is nice to know you can maybe sneak in an extra cocktail or a glass of wine just because that holiday party is so freaking long. And there's nothing to do but drink. So you throw back a shot of this stuff, and it basically digests acetaldehyde for you, which is the chemical unwanted byproduct of alcohol. And so what they've done is they've bioengineered this probiotic to do that for you. And it works amazingly. You feel great the next day. It's very, very simple. You get a box of this stuff. You throw back a shot of it before you drink, or if you forget. Sometimes people are forgetful and you remember halfway through the party, you just throw it back then. And here's the deal. They've got steep discounts going on. You go to ZBiotics, called ZBiotics, if you're in Europe, ZBiotics.com/Ben, ZBiotics.com/Ben. You get 15% off your first order when you use code Ben at checkout, 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, because you had 8 glasses of wine, and you woke up the next morning and you weren't feeling that great, they'll refund your money. No questions asked, but please don't have 8 glasses of wine. So you go to zbiotics.com/Ben, use code Ben at checkout for 15% off. You got to try this stuff. Everybody I've told about Zbiotics, they have literally come back and said, dude, I had no clue. I was skeptical at first. I was skeptical myself, but it actually works. Very interesting. So zbiotics.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily.
According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
All right, folks. As promised, the brilliant, slightly crazy, super fringe, Dr. John Lawrence is back on my show today. John is unfortunately not out with me in my guest house post sauna and cold pool, amped up on fringe butt suppositories and nasal sprays like he was the last time that we recorded. We're instead connecting via Skype, but I had to get John back on because he's just putting the finishing touches on this book. The book is about melatonin, and that may sound like a yawner for you, pun intended, because you might just consider melatonin to be like this thing that you may or may not take before sleep. But holy cow, he like knows melatonin backwards and forwards. You guys may have heard me talk about how I have completely reset my circadian rhythm using this high dose melatonin suppository and this liposomal melatonin that John developed. And it's doing a lot more than just regulating sleep. And we're going to delve into that in today's podcast. If you missed my first podcast with John, it was called The Crazy Future of Medical Biohacking: Skull Reset, Suppositories, Nasal Sprays, Nebulizers, Sound Therapy, and More. And you should go back and listen to that too, because we get a ton into John's backstory and delve into, like, you know, Amazonian herbal hoppe nasal spray, which I still use, by the way, to like nebulizing glutathione for viral issues, to NAD suppositories instead of like getting NAD IVs, which also works really well, and a lot more. So that original episode and then all the show notes for today's episode, I will link to at bengreenfieldfitness.com/melatoninmiracle. BenGreenfieldFitness.com/melatoninmiracle. And then just real quick, if you don't know who John is, he operates down in Florida. He's basically got a private practice down there in it's Sarasota, right, John?
Sarasota.
Yeah. So he's a naturopathic physician. He's a chiropractic neurologist. He spent most of his career focusing on things like balance disorders and tinnitus and hearing loss and degenerative neurological disorders like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, as well as a lot of these stealth co-infections like, you know, chronic Lyme and chronic inflammatory response syndrome and mold illness, because he's had Lyme himself. And we got into all that on the first episode, which you got to go listen to. But he also just developed these crazy products, and I'm constantly sending people to your website to check out your new stuff, John, because it's fringe, it's out there. I honestly I don't know how you get away with selling this stuff online, but you somehow do it. So
well, you know, it's been a selfish endeavor, because a lot of the products are things I wanted to use myself, and it's allowed me to kind of reach out and work with patients all over the world, really, you know, because we're able to create products that are, you know, almost as effective as if you were to do an IV or an injection, where you're able to kind of circumvent the oral route with the suppositories and the liposomals.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was on the phone with somebody yesterday. They're like, I got to go in and get my super uncomfortable NAD IV and sit there and cringe as the IV gets in there. So I'm like, why don't you just like put NAD up your butt and let it slow bleed into your system for 8 hours like I do now while I'm asleep? And it's kind of a lot easier. So anyways, though, we're not here to talk about NAD in your arsehole. We're here to talk about melatonin. So but for those of you who want to go visit John at his clinic, or if you live near Florida, or you want to make a medical biohacking trip, medical tourism, so to speak, in the U.S., I'll link to John's sites as well as all John's products in the show notes. So John, this whole deal with melatonin, you know, I'm aware of Dr. Frank Schallenberger, because I really, really got super interested in ozone when COVID hit, and I bought like a fancy ozone generator and started doing ozone water, and you know, and I've had my wife do, because she's had like UTIs in the past, and she's gonna love me saying this on the show, but I've had her do like vaginal ozone insufflation, and I've done like ozone through olive oil for, you know, for things like upper respiratory tract infections, and really dig ozone, and found Dr. Frank Schallenberger, who arguably was like kind of the guy who pioneered the use of ozone in functional medicine. But I didn't realize that A, you did an internship with him, and B, that he utilized melatonin in a way that kind of influenced you. So can you tell that story?
Yeah. So, well, before I did my internship with Frank Schallenberger, I was at a brain rejuvenation conference, and I was sitting next to a doctor that was watching the presentation with me, and a presenter came on and started talking about these super physiological doses of melatonin and how neuroprotective it was, and he was seeing a lot of benefit in the clinic. And the guy sitting next to me kind of reached over and he said, you know, I've been doing this in my clinic and it's been one of the best, you know, clinical pearls I've learned in a long time. And so that got my attention. So when I went to see Schallenberger, you know, to do my internship with him, I actually slipped into his schedule to have him kind of take a look at me. You know, I was post Lyme, I was having, you know, a lot of neurological symptoms like word finding and my memory, and I just felt like I wasn't performing at what I should be. And so he suggested I start taking 200 milligrams of melatonin, not just at night, but if I could tolerate it, which he said 20% of the population can, which I've come to find is about accurate, that when you take it during the day, you don't get sleepy if you have light exposure to the eyes.
And just to interrupt real quick, just when we're throwing around dosages, just super quick for the people who may not be familiar with melatonin dosages, typically most supplements, most recommendations, if there are recommendations for people to take melatonin, say like at night before sleep, it's usually like anywhere from 0.3 to 3 milligrams. A high dose in many cases, up until Dr. John is hitting the scene, is like 10. And so what Frank was talking to you about was 200. So we're talking about literally hundreds of times more than a lot of times what you'll see recommended.
Right. It's a shockingly high dose of melatonin. And for whatever reason, there's been some false information put out into the medical community about some dangers about melatonin. So we should probably nip that in the butt right away.
Why don't you finish telling the story about Schallenberger, and then let's get into some of the rumors about melatonin after that.
I tried the protocol. It worked for me. And, you know, I had been doing some and formulating some different products through mitozen.com. And we added that to the Sandman, which is our 250 milligram suppository, you know, to our product line. And then we started to use those with our patients here clinically. And a lot of the doctors that I work with started using it with their patients. And we've just seen some, you know, very promising results with using these really high doses of melatonin. So you call that super physiological dosing of melatonin. That's the official medical terminology for it.
Super physiological.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you're talking about a super physiological dose, and you mentioned that Frank had been using that for cancer, and then you used it for TBI. Why is that term used, super physiological? What's that mean exactly?
Well, because the amount of melatonin that the pineal secretes is really a tiny amount. And so when you start to take melatonin at these really high doses, it's higher than what the body produces naturally. So way higher than the endogenous production that's made in the body. So we use it for sleep, but there's so many more benefits, which we're going to dive into in this podcast, with melatonin that we're using it for our patients for.
Okay. So, you know, I think what I want to do before we dive into what's going on with these higher doses is back up just a little bit and explain melatonin, because we have time. You know, when it comes to melatonin, and you have a really good section in your new book, which I don't even know if I mentioned yet, it's called The Melatonin Miracle. It's fantastic. I kind of got my hands on a beta copy and have all sorts of pages folded over in it. But, you know, you reference melatonin as the way it's commonly referenced, the so-called hormone of darkness. And then you kind of describe like why it is that it's so important. So what exactly is melatonin from a hormonal standpoint? Like, what are the important things that people should know about where it's secreted and what it's doing?
If you look at melatonin, it's a primary protector from stress. And so if we were to compare it to something, I would like to compare it to the electromagnetic field around the Earth, right? And so that's an internal produced field that extends outside of the Earth, and it's protecting us from the ultraviolet rays that would normally kill life on the planet. So in the same way, every cell in your body actually produces melatonin, and not just in the cell, but in the part of the cell that actually makes your energy, which is called the mitochondria. And these mitochondria produce melatonin in a response to stress. So one of the things I thought was really interesting is if you go back in the earliest days of research with melatonin, the researchers initially didn't see any benefit to giving melatonin. They were giving it to animal models.
Any benefit for sleep, you mean?
For anything.
Okay.
Yeah, they were just looking in general to see if there was any difference in lifespan and in disease production. And I'm not sure if they even really looked at sleep in particular. I think it was just general health. And so they were kind of like, well, melatonin doesn't seem to be a really important substance. But then they changed the study around a little bit, where they took the group of mice and they put them in these round tubes, and they poked little holes in the tube. So the mice would have to be in this dark little tube, which this is kind of one of the ways that they mimic stress. So for a certain amount of time each day, they'll put them in these tubes. And you can imagine how stressful that would be if they shoved you in a tube with little pinholes, right?
Yeah.
They took the mice, and then they had the two groups both being subjected to the stress. And the one that was given the melatonin lived longer and didn't develop a lot of the diseases associated with that chronic stress that the mice that didn't get the melatonin. So that's when the research really started to open up, and they started to notice that there was a lot of benefits to melatonin.
Now, the interesting thing that I think about melatonin, and that this is kind of like possibly a little bit of a rabbit hole, is, you know, I used to do bodybuilding, and in the bodybuilding industry, what they realized after deciding they want an alternative to like spray on tans and fake tanning lotion or a copious amount of time spent in tanning beds was something that could allow for melanin production and the darkening of the skin. And so a lot of bodybuilders started using this peptide called melanotan, which you inject, and it works as advertised. I tried it for a few days. This was a couple of years back, and my skin started to darken and get this nice tan almost right away. But one of the side effects, and this is actually a quite common side effect in many men who take it, is essentially the equivalent of almost like a priapasm, like an erection that won't go away. And so I was like laying in bed at night with a massive hard on, and that you'd think, you know, most guys wouldn't complain about, but we're talking about like distracting for 5 or 6 hours, so I couldn't sleep. And so for me, that sleep disruption due to a lot of stuff going on in my crotch wasn't worth the trade-off for a tan. But, you know, I tell that story because from what I understand, you know, melatonin regulates melanin aggregation, and a little bit of that pigmentation response, because I think it was in frogs, they found that when you extract this hormone that they had found in the pineal gland, it modified melanin pigmentation in frogs by reducing melanin aggregation. And I also think that's interesting because I think it was Dr. Jack Cruz who I heard this first from, that you see some melanin production downregulation if you're out in the sun and you wear sunglasses, because one of the triggers for melanin to be produced to actually protect you from the sun is a trigger that's produced when photons of light hit your retina. And so if you're wearing sunglasses outside on a bright sunny day, you're actually more likely to burn and less likely to tan, and also less likely to harness appreciable amounts of vitamin D from sunlight if you're wearing sunglasses. So that's one of the reasons folks rarely see me sporting sunglasses outdoors, unless I'm snowboarding or trying to protect myself from sun blindness, like out in the desert or something like that.
Yeah, I do the same thing. And we get into quite a bit of depth on that in one of the chapters in the book where we talk about skin. So I don't like to wear sunglasses either unless, I have to. But yeah. It's definitely interesting how you'll tan instead of burn when you avoid sunglasses. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's kind of the whole idea behind the pineal gland, right? It secretes melatonin in the presence of darkness, which is why, as many of my listeners already know and are well aware, bright light exposure at night reduces that melatonin production. Adequate amounts of natural light during the daytime can enhance the activity of the pineal gland later on at night. But this whole idea of the pineal gland producing melatonin, especially yoked to light and also yoked to serotonin, which is why I think a higher carbohydrate meal or adequate carbohydrates in the evening can assist with sleep, kind of dictates what I would ask you for my next question. And that is this: if the pineal gland is producing melatonin and we begin to supplement with that same hormone, essentially, either liposomally, using something like your Sandman product, or via suppository like the Sandman suppository, what's that going to do to endogenous production? That's the $1 million question I get over and over again, is I'm going to shut down my own melatonin production if I take it. So give me the lowdown on that.
So that's how most hormones work. There's a negative feedback loop. So like, for instance, if you take testosterone, it's going to shut down your own production. So what's really interesting is that melatonin doesn't have that negative feedback loop. So, I'll give you an example. I did an experiment on myself. I don't think I've shared this with you yet, but I discontinued the experiment about a month ago, but for 3 months I was doing 800 milligrams of melatonin per night.
Well, were you doing that via suppository or via liposomal?
So I was doing both.
Okay.
Huh. Both at the same time.
Okay. In both ends.
I think you've experimented with as well.
I don't think I've ever used your liposomal at the same time as I've used the suppository. I've always just used one or the other. Anyways, back to your story, you're using 800?
Yeah. So, the first time I did that, it was quite a strong effect as far as becoming groggy and going to sleep. And I slept really, really hard. But when I started that, I thought I got COVID. So I started to get sick. And then a close friend of mine that I had close contact with tested positive. So I started to get a little bit of a runny nose. And I was like, okay, I got COVID. So that night I took that massive dose. And then the next night I took it, and I just kept that going, and I adapted to that high dose. And then I completely stopped taking any melatonin at all for a couple of weeks. And I really felt like it didn't really interfere with my sleep rhythms, and my Oura Ring scores were still, fairly good. Obviously I think they were a little bit better with the higher dose. But so I personally, kind of experimented with, feeling the effects that, so your melatonin is going to build based on sunlight hitting the retina. And so when you stop, when you take exogenous melatonin, you're still going to release the same amount that you're storing, that's related to the sunlight that you get that day. And it just doesn't change. There's just not that negative feedback.
I get, well, not only do I get a decent amount of sunlight now that spring is approaching at the time that we're recording this, but even in the winter, which is when I first began experimenting with the high dose melatonin you were sending me, you know, in the morning, I blast myself with a ton of technology that kind of simulates the sunlight I'm not able to get in the winter, especially living on a north facing slope out here in Washington State. So I've got, you know, one of those daytime like blue light boxes on my office desk. And then I've also got these glasses called the retimers that produce blue light. And then those in-ear human chargers. That sounds like a lot, but I'm basically bombarding myself with at least three different sources of bright, you know, technology-based light during the daytime. And so that may also have been why I saw such a good response to this protocol. But I kind of call it the melatonin sledgehammer, because I was having some pretty serious sleep issues after some travel. It would have been winter of 2020. And so I started into that higher dose melatonin protocol and was kind of bouncing back and forth. Like some days I'd use the liposomal, some days I'd use your suppository. And I was generally for about 30 days in a row, I did about 300 to 400 milligrams of melatonin every single night. And I went from like multiple nighttime wakenings, early morning wakenings, not being able to go back to bed, daytime sleepiness due to poor sleep cycles. And it's almost like it reset everything. And then I quit cold turkey, because what happened was after my sleep was all normalized, I went on a trip with my wife for about a week, and I thought, well, this is a perfect chance for me to just like not take any melatonin with me and just force myself to kind of reset and see what happens. And It was like my body had learned to sleep based on that higher dose melatonin protocol. And when I cut out the melatonin, my sleep cycle remained really stable. And so even now, you know, it's probably one or two times a week when I have like a late night event where I'm under bright lights or I've been traveling and I've arrived back home, that I'll use that kind of like melatonin sledgehammer type of approach, similar to how one would use like a vitamin D sledgehammer if they're first getting the onset of cold or flu, you know, doing like a 20,000 to 50,000, like an intramuscular injection of vitamin D, that type of thing. Kind of a similar approach with melatonin. But I experienced none of the actual indicators that would indicate to me that melatonin production had been downregulated. If anything, it seemed to stabilize my sleep score after going 30 days without skipping a beat going high dose.
Mm-hmm. Have you looked at your heart rate variability when you're taking the high doses?
It doesn't seem to really change much aside from the fact that whenever I get better sleep, my heart rate variability improves. And so if it's a good night of sleep, whether or not I'm using melatonin for sleep, I see an increase in heart rate variability, but I'm not convinced that's due to the melatonin, although you might have a different thought versus just better sleep in general.
Well, you know, the way I look at heart rate variability is it's really kind of a how well we're dealing with stress, right? And oftentimes it's too strong of a sympathetic nervous system. You know, the sympathetic fight or flight nervous system is more predominant, and there's not that yin and yang between the two sides of the autonomics. And so melatonin's actually been shown to really strengthen the autonomic nervous system, and particularly the parasympathetic nervous system. And so I've actually seen some dramatic improvements with heart rate variability with both myself and also some of my patients.
Interesting. Okay, cool. All right. So basically, in terms of endogenous production, would you say then that is not a concern for people if they're supplementing with melatonin?
Not a concern. Yeah. According to the literature, that's not a concern.
Okay. So a couple other questions regarding dosing. You actually say in your book that melatonin may not even be effective unless taken at high doses. What's the reason behind saying that like a small dose doesn't even work?
Well, if somebody's taking it for sleep and, you know, they're under the age of 40, a couple things I would point out is, you know, what the research says is that you should possibly take it even 3 or 4 hours before your bedtime to be more effective. But we're not talking about taking melatonin just for sleep. It does. And I think kind of back to, you know, your story about traveling and kind of resetting the circadian rhythm. There's so many melatonin receptors. There's the G protein compound melatonin receptors, which there's an MT1, an MT2, and an MT3. And the MT1 and 2 are mostly with the nervous system and the brain. So we're basically, we've got all these melatonin receptors throughout our bodies and our cells. So when we start to provide these signaling with melatonin, we're kind of retraining not just the sleep-wake cycle, but there's so many different other systems in our body that also have, they're connected to this circadian rhythm. One example is that your microbiome also takes the signaling from melatonin release. And in fact, the melatonin is 400 times higher in the gut than it is in the brain. So it's a lot more, you know, higher. And so sometimes when you get into these higher doses, you might be looking at some of the benefits through the gut. And the microbiome actually takes there's something called microbiome swarming. And the primary activator of microbiome swarming is actually deep sleep and melatonin release. So this is where your good bacteria literally go into a phase of growth and proliferation. And, you know, one of the interesting things I found in the literature with melatonin supplementation for a lot of gut diseases is that they actually found that there's a suppression of the bad bacteria and a support to the good bacteria.
That's interesting. So melatonin is actually having an impact on the microbiome as well.
Big time. Yeah. Hmm. And that's why, you know, when we created the mitophase fasting protocol, we wrote an article and we published it, right? It was like a month ago.
Oh, there's a big article on my website about this whole idea of enhancing autophagy and kind of like using this fasting high-dose NAD protocol that you developed, and melatonin is a part of that as well, right?
Right. So yeah, the mitofast, after the fast. So when you're fasting, it's a hormetic stress to the microbiome. Your body's basically robbing the microbiome of nutrients. So it's kind of survival of the fittest. You know, you get rid of the weak. And then when you start to refeed, you're going to repopulate. And so what we're having people do is do high dose melatonin in that refeeding phase to support the microbiome swarming, and also to prevent some of the bad guys from repopulating.
All right, folks. Well, cold turkey might be great on sandwiches, but there's a better way to break a bad habit than quitting that bad habit, cold turkey. I'm not talking about some weird mind voodoo from your crazy neighbor standing on a nail bed or something like that. I'm talking about this thing called Fume. This little thing called Fume holds a hallowed place in my fanny pack, actually. Been hitting up the maple pepper core in that thing quite a bit. So anyways, the Fume is not a vape. It's a flavored air device. You breathe natural flavors through it. Like I said, I got the maple pepper core loaded up in mine right now. Turns out black pepper really hits the spot, so I can feel satisfied without breathing in or chewing on anything bad. It's amazing. I've got another one called the crisp mint core, so I can breathe in mint flavored air rather than a pen infused with something else. You know what I mean? That kind of bad habit that isn't good for you. Instead, you just basically use this pen, and it is an essential oil pen. It's amazing. A flavored air device. You get the taste sensation and the fidget and that hand-to-mouth action, but you don't have to feel guilty about the habit. It's a good habit to have. They have a whole bunch of natural, delicious flavors. It's not a vape. Don't get me wrong. It's a natural air device. It's fully legal. It doesn't have anything bad in it. I even use it on an airplane. I get a few funny looks with people who think I'm vaping on an airplane, even though I'm not. It's just basically flavored air, and it tastes great. I found it made my cravings go out the window. It's weird. It's a crazy life hack, but it works, and it's super sexy and cool looking too. So it's called Fume, F-U-M. You can get 10% off this thing if you go to tryfume.com, tryfume.com, use code BEN to save 10%. So you can accelerate humanity's breakup from destructive habits by picking up what's called their Journey Pack today. It has a whole bunch of cool flavors, including that crisp mint core and the maple pepper core, two of my favorites. So again, tryfume.com/BEN and use code BEN to save 10% off your order from Fume, F-U-M. All right, folks, you may have heard the recent podcast episode I recorded with this cat who designed a drink. His name is Zach Abbott. He designed a drink that you throw back, it's a little shot, and it digests the toxic byproducts of alcohol for you, meaning that you feel great the next day after you've been drinking. And while I only endorse holiday responsible drinking and responsible drinking in general, it is nice to know you can maybe sneak in an extra cocktail or a glass of wine just because that holiday party is so freaking long. and there's nothing to do but drink. So you throw back a shot of this stuff, and it basically digests acetaldehyde for you, which is the chemical unwanted byproduct of alcohol. And so what they've done is they've bioengineered this probiotic to do that for you. And it works amazingly. You feel great the next day. It's very, very simple. You get a box of this stuff. You throw back a shot of it before you drink. Or if you forget, sometimes people are forgetful and you remember halfway through the party, you just throw it back then. And here's the deal. They've got steep discounts going on. You go to ZBiotics, called ZBiotics, if you're in Europe, ZBiotics.com/Ben. ZBiotics.com/Ben. You get 15% off your first order when you use code Ben at checkout. 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, because you had 8 glasses of wine, you woke up the next morning and you weren't feeling that great, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. But please don't have 8 glasses of wine. So you go to ZBiotics.com/Ben. Use code Ben at checkout for 15% off. You got to try this stuff. Everybody I've told about ZBiotics, they have literally come back and said, dude, I had no clue. I was skeptical at first. I was skeptical myself, but it actually works. Very interesting. So zbiotics.com/Ben. Well, folks, you and I, or the average American at least, spend an average of 90% of time indoors, breathing around 30,000 gallons of air daily. According to the EPA, indoor air can be 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, 100 times more polluted, especially like your home gym where you're breathing in even more air. This can be a serious issue. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths around the world. So you need air purifying technology, and the one that I like as a standalone system that doesn't require you to go re-outfit your entire home's AC system or ducts is called the Air Doctor. The Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens like pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so your lungs don't need to. Their Ultra HEPA filter has been independently tested to remove 99.99% of tested bacteria and viruses and virtually 100% of particles as small as 0.003 microns. They also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than normal ordinary air purifiers, and they are extremely affordable and accessible. Furthermore, they're going to give you up to 39% off of one of their extremely impressive and efficacious air filters, or up to $300 off today. Here's how you lock this in. You go to airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You can get one with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund, minus shipping, but you're going to love it. airdoctorpro.com/BenG. You'll get up to 39% off, or up to $300 off. So lock it in today, folks. You'll enjoy it. Clean air is something everybody deserves. You can get it with the Air Doctor.
So basically, this idea of it not shutting down endogenous production and also higher dose administration being more beneficial than lower dose administration. I think there's a couple things that I learned from your book that I wanted to make sure I mentioned to folks. You do mention some research that shows those smaller doses taken farther away from bedtime than most people, I think, take melatonin, like 2 to 4 hours before bedtime. That does seem to be effective at reducing sleep latency, or the amount of time that it takes to fall asleep. So there are some benefits to the smaller dose. You will fall asleep faster. But when you're talking about the actual anti-inflammatory effects, cellular autophagy, the effects on the biome, and some of the other anti-inflammatory and other benefits that I think we'll also be touching on even more as we move forward here, the peak blood time, or the peak plasma levels, I think is what you call them in the book, decline pretty rapidly in response to like that low dose administration. But then the actual the peak plasma levels stay elevated for an extended period of time during the entire night when you've got something like a melatonin suppository. You know, it's the same thing with like your NAD suppository. And a lot of times I'll do the NAD and the melatonin suppository at the same time. So I'm basically getting this slow bleed, so to speak, of melatonin and NAD into my system the entire night. And again, like at first I was a little bit concerned about the dosage levels, But you've got several studies in the book where you talk about like daily oral doses of 30 to 60 milligrams of melatonin being well tolerated and having virtually no side effects. There's one clinical trial you talk about where people are getting daily 300 milligram melatonin suppositories with no clinical complications. You know, another one where there was 60 milligrams of intravenous melatonin and no issues. And so it seems to actually be, if anything, not only safe, but also beneficial. And so I think that that the lower dose does have some benefit, but again, it's farther away from bedtime than most people are taking it, and the benefit is primarily that reduction in sleep latency.
Yeah, exactly. So when I start talking to people about these higher doses of melatonin, I try to get them to think about other benefits that melatonin has besides sleep.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into, man. And so the first thing that intrigued me that you briefly touched on, but I'd love to hear you unpack just a little bit more, is the effects of melatonin on the mitochondria. So what's going on from a mitochondrial level with melatonin?
Okay, great question. This is really at the core of how melatonin works. And so what happens is there's a number of different stressors, right? There's chemical, mental, emotional, physical, electromagnetic, there's infections. You know, these are the primary stressors that we have to deal with. And then we have hormesis, which is our ability to respond to stresses. And if the dosage is just right, right, we have a response of the body where we could even come back stronger. So we have, you know, we have the mitochondria really being at the core of our ability to handle stress, right? So like, for instance, if we overtrain, it's because we exceeded our mitochondria's ability to handle that stress. Or very often cancers, you know, they're looking at cancer as a core mitochondrial problem. Chronic, like even COVID, right? So if we look at COVID, when that gets to the point where it's a critical situation, the immune system shuts down and there's something called a cytokine storm that results in acute respiratory distress syndrome. And that is a mitochondrial problem. And so what results from these stresses is something called cytokines. And these cytokines are basically inflammation at the cellular level. And when a cytokine approaches the cell, what happens is the cell is absorbing glucose into the cell, and then it converts it into pyruvate. And so then the pyruvate is shuffled into the mitochondria, and it's converted into something called acetyl-CoA. But if there's cytokines, what happens is that pyruvate is taken out of the mitochondria and put into the cytosol, and there's an enzyme that blocks where we can use pyruvate efficiently, and the cytokine causes this shift where we can only make 10% of the energy that we would otherwise make. And so this is the reason that we have this cytokine storm with, say, COVID, is because we shift to this inefficient energy production that's called aerobic glycolysis, where they call it the Warburg effect. You know, if people want to dive into this, they can look at Otto Warburg's work with cancer and the mitochondria. But for our sake, I think it's important to understand that inflammation, which is the result of all of the stresses, shuts down our ability to make energy, and it literally cuts it by, you know, 9 out of 10. So you got 10% of the energy that you could otherwise make. And so for somebody with COVID, all of a sudden their immune cells have no energy, and then it just gets out of control. So at the core level, the melatonin is actually produced by the mitochondria to buffer this entire system, to quench that enzyme so that you can then start continuing to make energy.
I think that's also important for people who are concerned about heart health as well, because we know that sympathetic nervous system stress, and I have a big podcast coming out on heart health soon, is one of the contributors to potential for heart disease. But that stress, whether brought on by environmental or by, you know, emotional, you know, variables, does result in some amount of inflammation that shifts even the heart into some element of glycolysis and lactic acid production. And that can actually lead to both calcification as well as influencing the electrical activity of the pacemaker cells in the heart. And so that's actually one of the reasons that the body has some pretty cool mechanisms to keep the heart To kind of like shuttle fats to cardiac tissue so that cardiac tissue gets first dibs on fats, because the heart runs so well on ketones and on fatty acids, along with the diaphragm and the liver being a couple other organs where that occurs. But essentially, I would love to see, just based on this little thought that I'm having, what, and I don't know if any studies exist on this, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, John, what the effect of melatonin supplementation on cardiovascular disease risk or cardiovascular, say like heart attack recovery would be in response to like higher dose melatonin.
Yeah, well, I have a whole chapter on that. There's actually a lot of research that's been done on that. So, you know, the brain and the heart are the two metabolically demanding organs in your body. So those tissues are working very hard. They need a lot of continuous energy. And so when you start to have a breakdown in mitochondrial function, so, you know, you have to look at the mitochondria in a couple ways. One is it efficiently making energy? In other words, we talked about efficiency, meaning that it's like if you were to have, say, like a log, right? And you throw that log on the fire, and one log might burn for 10 hours. The other log might burn for an hour. So we're talking about having logs that can only burn an hour, and that's what's happening at the cellular level when there's too much stressors. So circling back to that, you know, we have the situation where the heart is so metabolically demanding, and you start to shut down the ability to produce lots of energy, but then you have the inefficient production of energy, meaning that it's going to make energy and it's going to spew a lot of oxidation. You know, it would be like an old car, you know, that's producing a lot of pollution. Like if I had a city and I had a bunch of cars that were old and I were to go out into that city and change the cars so that they were more efficient, maybe they were burning, you know, instead of gas, they were burning electric. And so the city, the pollution would be better. It would use less energy, right? It would be more efficient. And that's ultimately what I think we want, and we want, you know, a lot of the listeners want their bodies to be more efficient, produce less pollution. And that's really what melatonin can offer you, because it supports the mitochondria, which is at the core of making energy.
Right. And I think that, you know, when we look at the heart particularly, there are some other variables that influence the propensity for beta oxidation or burning of ketones to be limited, particularly things like the nature of the water within the cytoplasm of cardiac cells, particularly whether or not that water is structured right in the cytoplasm. Another one would be how much exposure to photonic light has occurred, which allows for that the mitochondria in cardiac tissue and beyond actually work properly. And so there's a variety of factors here, but low inflammation, low stress, adequate exposure to particularly the infrared light spectrum, and adequate hydration, particularly mineral intake, are all things that kind of play into that variable in terms of not only cardiac cell efficiency, but overall mitochondrial efficiency of the entire body. And it seems as though melatonin is pushing that along quite beautifully.
Yeah, well, the other thing is the autonomics, you know, and having a strong autonomic nervous system. And if they have an over-dominant parasympathetic, you start going out there and you start exercising, you know, everybody's felt that, you know, over-adrenalized feeling, and the athletic performance declines with that.
Right.
So think about this. You get a really deep, restful sleep. The body is basically repairing itself, and you're supporting your parasympathetic nervous system. I mean, these are all just little glimpses of all of the things that melatonin can do for, you know, someone who's an athlete or someone that's maybe got a disease issue that they're dealing with and they want to decrease their inflammation, improve their immune system, improve their body's response to stress. You know, it just overall, you know, I just think that melatonin could be used with just about anybody looking to maximize their performance.
Yeah. And you mentioned immune system there. I love the section of the book where you talk about how it's possible that people may not need to be wasting their money flying to Mexico for these fancy NK killer cell injections. You know, a lot of people don't realize it's illegal in the U.S. to actually grow stem cells. Like you can harvest stem cells, you can store stem cells, but you're not allowed to actually grow them to mobilize or to modify human cells in culture in the U.S. And if you go to like Mexico, you can expand cells and produce like these higher amounts of NK cells. And so a lot of people will engage in so-called medical tourism and go to Mexico to amp up their immune system with some fancy, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 NK cell injection. You talk in the book, though, about the impact of melatonin on the immune system, particularly on killer cells. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's super interesting when you look at the information and the research on how melatonin affects natural killer cells. Actually, there was an interesting article in 2005 in Immunity and Aging, and it was called Melatonin, Immune Function, and Aging. And what they talk about in that article is how there's something called immunosenescence. So I know a lot of the listeners are familiar with senescent cells, right? It's that permanent state of sleepiness that cells go into, and it's linked to aging and chronic inflammation and all those types of things. Well, that happens with your immune system as well. And what melatonin does is it actually increases the secretion of something called progenitor cells, which are basically stem cells that will turn into natural killer cells. Melatonin's also been shown to improve interleukins and T helper cells. So yeah, lots of information on melatonin as it relates to the immune system. And as you mentioned before, you know, there's people paying $40,000-$50,000 to go to Mexico and get their natural killer cells expanded. And, you know, to know that melatonin can do a fairly decent job at that, you know, without spending tens of thousands of dollars, and also something that you can do kind of on a regular basis over the course of several years.
Yeah, I think the study was in Immunity and Aging on melatonin, immune function, and aging. And I don't remember the percentage increase in there as well, but it was a marked shift in the cytokine mm-hmm. profile and particularly the competence of individual natural killer cells. That were especially in aging individuals mm-hmm. where you see a decline in that NK cell activity, that melatonin administration had some pretty enormous therapeutic value to enhance immune function, particularly in A, aging people, and B, in people in an immunocompromised state, which, you know, in an era of COVID, and we're no saying that melatonin is like a COVID cure or something like that. But in terms of the impact on the immune system, not only is it important, but I do know in functional medicine, there are many practitioners who have been using melatonin and even higher dose melatonin for things like, you know, long haul COVID or even amping up the immune system's ability to be able to fight off any virus for that matter. And so there's definitely something going on. And then the other thing is that based on the anti-inflammatory activity that you talked about earlier, the inhibition of the cytokine storm, particularly that induced by COVID-19, was studied. Like in 2020, it was studied and it was shown exogenously administered melatonin could inhibit the cytokine storm.
Yeah, it sure. You know, there was a study that came out just in December from the Cleveland Clinic, and they looked at people that they gave melatonin to, and I they didn't state the dosage, but there was a 52% decrease in the likelihood of contracting COVID. So for those people that want to decrease their chances of catching COVID, they might consider melatonin.
Yeah.
And then there was another group of doctors that came out and they released this article, and they're really trying to promote people for taking melatonin 2 weeks prior and 1 month following a vaccine. Now, I know everybody's got all their own opinions on vaccines. We probably shouldn't get into that on this podcast. But for those people that feel like, you know, they're going to get that vaccine, they really should consider taking melatonin prior and after, because one of the things that they talk about in this paper is that you'll have a stronger antibody response. So when you get the vaccine, you rely on, especially healthier, they were saying, healthier people, it's probably even more important because they don't have as strong of an antibody response to the vaccine.
You know what I think? I think that that's part of it, but I also think part of this might also come down to the adjuvants in vaccines, because melatonin is actually, it's a chelating agent. I learned this from your book, that it actually prevents toxicity induced by metals like mercury and lead and cadmium. And I don't know if aluminum, a common adjuvant in vaccines, I don't know if they've studied the protective effects of melatonin against aluminum toxicity, but they've looked at a host of other similar metals, and it's really interesting. I was unaware of this till I read your book, how powerful of a chelating agent it is. And so for people who have like a robust, say like a sauna practice, or people who are doing, you know, say like coffee enemas, or people who are doing like, you know, metal chelation protocols, it appears that melatonin seems to support a lot of those pathways.
Oh yeah. I was shocked when I read that too. And, you know, it not only chelates heavy metals out of the brain, which actually might account for a subset of patients when they first start taking really high doses of melatonin, they may actually feel a little bit, you know, a little off. You know, it does happen occasionally. And it might be just from the detoxification from the melatonin. But yeah, it also protects you when you get exposure. So I think that's another good reason that anybody doing the vaccine should consider taking melatonin.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, you know, if you start using high dose, really the main side effect I noted was morning grogginess. But the interesting thing, and of course this makes perfect sense based on what we explained earlier, was as soon, like, I'll wake up and I'll have a little bit of morning grogginess from you know, basically I can almost guarantee it's the melatonin, because it doesn't happen when I don't take the melatonin. But as soon as I blast myself with sunlight or morning light exposure, it disappears within like 5 minutes. Like, it's remarkably fast how soon the grogginess disappears. So it's like the like exposure to light, if you're groggy from melatonin administration, especially high dose melatonin administration for sleep, like if you get blasted with light as soon as you wake up, or you know, or at some point in the hour after you wake up, for me personally, like, the grogginess just completely vanishes.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense what you're doing, because what you're doing is you're really hacking this circadian rhythm in the sleep wake. Now, a lot of people might be sitting there thinking, wow, that sounds really extreme. You know, why is Ben and, you know, John Laurent's such extremists? But we live in a different world now. You know, you can't expect to just kind of muddle along and continue to be healthy, because there's so many stressors. Like, I'll tell you another thing that shocked me was when I really looked at EMFs, right? So you look at EMFs and there's, you know, there's just compelling evidence showing that it's carcinogenic, right? If we're exposed to too much cell phone radiation or our Wi-Fi, you know, these electromagnetic frequencies can be very destructive to us at a cellular level. And one of the things that I found in the research is that the pineal gland actually perceives these EMFs as light, and it decreases melatonin, and that's in the literature as well. So it makes an argument to almost look at, you look at the graph and you say, okay, well, you know, there's actually an interesting body of evidence showing that melatonin suppresses cancer, right? So is it the carcinogenic effects of EMF because it's lowering melatonin? You know, are a lot of the negative effects of EMF related to the fact that it's squashing our melatonin? I don't know.
It's interesting. But related to the melatonin issue, you know, I talked earlier about the effects of melanin in terms of being able to, say, protect the skin from damage in response to UVA and UVB exposure, and how limiting exposure of the retina to photons of light may actually exacerbate that issue. But then there's also some interesting data on melatonin and its protective effect on skin, like the actual stimulation of the production of collagen and elastin. Can you get into that a little bit? Like kind of like the anti-aging type of use for melatonin?
You look at the skin. I look at the skin a lot like I look at the lining of the gut, right? You have two areas that are in touch with our external world, and there's a lot of activity there. And when you have activity, you're making energy and you're producing oxidation. And so melatonin is the primary buffer against this oxidation. And so when we go out into the sun and we get blasted by these UV rays, when we have a strong oxidative capacity, then we're going to be protecting that skin. So they have done a number of studies where they've shown that people that take exogenous melatonin have much improved skin with collagen and elastin, like you just mentioned. We're actually playing around with some melatonin creams. And, you know, we're kind of beta testing. I think I gave you guys a bottle of that at some point.
Yeah, you sent me up a bottle of some kind of a skin cream that I used for a little while that had melatonin in it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. It smelled very sulfurous. What was the sulfurous smell?
That might have been, I might have put glutathione in there. I've done a few different versions of it.
Yeah, it had kind of a glutathione type of smell to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you can apply melatonin, you know, to the skin. And I think a face cream with melatonin makes a lot of sense. And I put it on in the morning and I really don't feel, you know, any negative effects as far as feeling groggy or anything like that. So,
Okay, got it. You know, I want to turn to kind of like this idea of stacking. Like we touched on the MitoFast protocol, where and there's a whole article about this on my website that you wrote that I'll link to if folks go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/melatoninmiracle, where you talk about how you'll stack melatonin into a specific fasting protocol that also includes NAD administration to enhance particularly the mitochondrial benefits of a fast. And that's a mm-hmm. it's a pretty cool protocol. You know, but I'm curious about a couple of other things when it relates to things that combine well with melatonin, because when I look at the ingredient label of the Sandman, like your liposomal, for people who don't like to shove things up their butt, or the suppository, there's stuff in there besides melatonin. What else are you combining with the melatonin?
Well, we have magnolia bark extract in the Sandman, and that helps with it. It works through GABA, so it enhances sleep a bit as well. And we have some full spectrum hemp in there, and then there's the terpene from lavender called linalool that we put in there. Yeah, I mean, those are the primary active ingredients.
I thought you had like a probiotic in there too.
Oh yeah, yeah, we do have a probiotic. Yeah.
Which bacterial strain are you using for the probiotic in the suppository?
Yeah, Ben, so we basically have two probiotic combinations. One of them is called APO808. The other one's APO19. And they're both proprietary blends of mostly strains of Bacillus. And the idea was to add very specific strains that would support the absorption of, in the situation with the APO808, the melatonin and the glutathione. And with the APO19, it was more with the CBD and the cannabinoids.
Oh, you mean the actual strain you're keeping proprietary?
Yeah.
Look at you holding your cards close to your chest. Well, either way, for colonic flora, this idea of having bacteria up your butt along with the melatonin during a night of sleep seems to be something that, for me at least, seems to have a little bit of a gut stabilizing effect. And so these other compounds are particularly in there for relaxation, or are they in there for the – because one of those you mentioned has more of like an autophagy-producing effect, doesn't it? One of those plant-based polyphenols?
Yeah. So the MitoFast, you know, there's a phase one, phase two, and phase three. So the phase one is we're loading the cells with NAD, so we're charging the cells up. The phase two, we're adding these plant polyphenols like physatin, sterile stilbene, resveratrol, you know, some curcumin,
and that's all in the Lucitol product, and that's another one of your products.
So one of the main reasons that we want to fast, and this is probably something a lot of your listeners already know, but that we want to clean up senescent cells, we want to trigger autophagy, we want to trigger mitochondrial biogenesis and mitophagy. So all of these things can be even further accentuated where you can do a shorter fast and get the benefits of what would otherwise be a longer fast. And that was really the goal of this, is to allow people to fast for 24 hours or 3 days and get the effect of a longer fast, like a 5 or 6 day fast.
Yeah, I do a quarterly fasting protocol. And at the time you sent me that article, I had just finished up like this 5 day juice fast, because a lot of times for my fasting protocols, I'll experiment with like a Ayurvedic cleanse or a Panchakarma or a Khichdi cleanse or, you know, or a fasting protocol or a fasting mimicking diet like Valter Longo has done research on. And so I love to like find new ways to kind of clean up the body for those quarterly fasts and then test them on myself. So I, you know, you wrote that article right after I'd finished this other fast. So I didn't try this yet, but it seems pretty simple. It's like the first 2 days before I start my fast, I load up with a whole bunch of NAD. So I could either go get an NAD IV or use your NAD suppositories or the NAD liposomal or whatever. But it's like a high dose of NAD for the first couple of days, like let's say a Monday and a Tuesday. And then the next couple of days, you'll do like a water only 48-hour fast. But during that time, you're upregulating the effects of the fast by doing melatonin and that Lucitol suppository that you talked about, or the Lucitol liposomal. I like you have an oral version of everything for people who don't want to do the suppositories, and that's got all the plant based like the fisetin, the quercetin, all the things that would upregulate cellular autophagy during the fast, and then after I start eating again, then I take some of your like almost like mTOR stimulating compounds.
It's called stemTOR. Yeah. It's something that's going to raise mTOR.
Right. Similar to like taking like essential amino acids or something like that. You would stack those at the very end to shove your body back into an anabolic phase.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have people do is the Keon aminos afterwards. We have them increase their protein intake. And then we have a product called stemTOR that has high leucine. It has HMB and it has deer antler velvet. So we're trying to like further kind of accentuate that growth and repair where you get more stem cells to be released. Then once they're released, we have something called StemZen, which is high CoQ10. And people can do this on their own, but there's something called Focoidin. So we've combined Focoidin in this high CoQ10 with the StemZen product, which improves the survivability of the stem cells once they're, you know, released into circulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Focoidin, isn't that from like a sea moss or something like that?
Exactly. Yeah. From brown seaweed.
Yeah. Brown seaweed. That's right. Yeah. That's an interesting molecule in and of itself. And by the way, for people for whom that might sound like a dizzying and complex type of fast, I know you have a kit. I think you have the liposomal version of that fast and then the suppository based version of that fast. And then the box just arrives at your house with the instructions. And, at the time we're recording this, it is basically the end ish of winter 2021 for my spring 2021 fast that this is the one I'm going to do. I'm going to do the MitoFast protocol. So I'll keep people posted when I personally do that protocol, but it's pretty simple. Like there's really only 2 days where you're doing a full on fast and it's sandwiched in between NAD and then these like mTOR stimulants. So it's kind of a cool idea.
Well, there's two versions that we promote. One is where you do a 24 hour to 36 or 48 hour fast. And then we have a full three day fast. And really what I try to get a lot of my patients to do is to do a 24 hour fast every single week. Right, is just part of their ritual. And then 1 week out of the month, I like them to do a full 3 day fast. So we'll actually have them do this Mito fast protocol, you know, for a full 3 months in that fashion.
So it's 3 months where you're doing for each of those months a 3 day fast. That's a cool idea. You know, we mentioned that Lucitol plays a role in this, being the one that's rich in a lot of these autophagy enhancing compounds like fisetin as resveratrol. I know you have like EGCG from green tea extract in there and quercetin and curcumin and all these things that kind of shut down inflammation in the brain and also enhance cellular senescence and enhance cellular autophagy. What's really interesting, and you and I were chatting about wanting to mention this before we started recording, and I think I actually do want to mention this because it's interesting, is that, you know, I do on about a quarterly basis, like a plant medicine protocol where I actually do kind of like journey with a variety of different plant medicines. And I kind of treat that similar to like a TBI or a concussion, really, in terms of paying attention to not only the neurotransmitter deficits that, you know, a protocol like that can produce, but then also some of the brain inflammation that can occur when you're using a lot of these compounds in high doses that are amplifying neuronal activity, like, you know, 20 times plus if you're, you know, whether we're talking about like a ayahuasca retreat or some other compound or stack of compounds you might be using for say like a journey. And, I began, I think this was like a year and a half ago. What I started doing after that was when I'd go to bed that night, I would use the Lucitol. And this sounds like a lot of stuff to shove up your butt, but one Lucitol, one Sandman, and then one of your CBDs. What's the CBD one called?
Neurodiol.
Yeah, Neurodiol. Yeah,
300 milligram like a, Neurodiol.
Yeah, it's like a high dose CBD. And I would do those three and wake up the next morning after a plant medicine and ceremony.
Feel
and
totally fresh.
Yeah, totally fresh, totally clean.
So I also have been fortunate enough to have some really profound positive experiences with plant medicine. And, you know, I feel like it's a very valuable tool if you can find the right people to work with. And the first time I did it, I was worthless for 2 weeks. I mean, I was just, you know, I was wiped out. Yeah. And so the next time I went, I used my products and it was like the next day I woke up, I'm like, you know, I feel amazing. I slept great that night. And I actually wrote an article on this. What we'll do is we'll link to this article at BenGreenfieldFitness.com/melatoninmiracle. And we'll put that article in there for people that want to understand the protocol.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty simple. And you know, one thing I should mention, because this is actually a question I get, kind of like people will ask me, like, how do you do a coffee enema? Because a lot of people just like don't really know how to do a suppository. Typically, a lot of people will use coconut oil or KY jelly or some type of lubricant to kind of like moisten the rectal area. I don't even fuss around with that because the suppositories are kind of slippery as it is. But you literally just like lie on your side, and typically like you straighten the leg that's underneath you out and kind of bend the upper leg forward just a little bit. And then you just insert the suppository. You know, typically it's easier if you're just like lying in bed. And as long as you're not getting up and walking around and like, you know, taking a pee, which kind of relaxes some of the rectal sphincters, et cetera, and you kind of like do it as the last thing you do before you go to bed, it works really well. And if I'm going to do, sometimes I find that the high dose melatonin, if I take that like an hour before I plan on going to bed, it kind of starts to hit me right when I'm going to sleep versus like doing it when I'm in bed and waiting for it to hit my system. So in a case like that, I'll literally just like put in the suppository, and then I'll go and just for like 2 minutes do a handstand against the front door of the house and just like go upside down for a little while. And at that point, it feels like it just kind of stays in there even as I'm walking around, brushing my teeth, getting ready for bed, et cetera. So that's the way that I do it, is I'll just slip it in, do a handstand or like hang from an inversion table for a couple of minutes, and then, you know, do all my pre-bed stuff and then just hit the sack. And about the time I hit the sack, it's like I'm lights out.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest, you know, the thing is when people insert, if there's, you know, if they need to have a bowel movement, there's something already in there, it can kind of trigger some peristalsis of the movement. So, you know, sometimes you can put a suppository in and then, I got to use the restroom, and you might lose it. You know, you just have to insert another one. So once in a while you might lose a suppository, but most people, you know, it dissolves within just a few minutes. You know, you don't want to try to be too active and walking around, but
And I know this might be gross for some people to be hearing us describe this, but these are the practical things that people don't talk about. So I just want to fill you guys in if you're listening. Another couple of tips for you is, first of all, it's normal when you first put it in to feel like you kind of want to go to the bathroom. But then if you don't and you wait just like 5 or 10 minutes, that urge goes away. Once your body overcomes that sensation of something being in the butt that it wants to get back out of the butt, and it'll just go away after a few minutes. So know that. And then the other thing is, in case something does like slip out while you're asleep at night, I actually, any night I'm using a suppository, even though if I'm not using one, I like to sleep naked because I just like to stay super cool when I'm asleep and just like the feeling of sleeping combat style. But I do wear my boxers if I'm doing a suppository, just in case, just so I don't have to like wash the sheets in the morning if a suppository comes out, and keep my wife happy that I'm not getting like, you know, suppository dye on the sheets or whatever. So it's a couple of practical tips for you guys.
Lucitol with all those plant polyphenols, I mean, they will definitely stain.
I know. My wife one night, she was like, "Are you eating turmeric in bed?" I'm like, "Oh, that's what that was." She's like, "Yeah, you should put on underwear." So, tips from the trenches, folks. Sorry for the inside baseball. Well, this has been super duper helpful, John. I know the book is jam packed with so much more, both practical and research based information on melatonin, on high dose melatonin, on melatonin for mitochondria, for anti aging, for the immune system. I mean, other benefits we kind of just scratched the surface on during this podcast, but it's a really good read. And what I'm going to do is I'll link to the book, which just came out, in the show notes. If you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/melatoninmiracle. I'll also link to the MitoFast protocol article that John wrote, in case any of you want to try that fast out. And then I'll just link to the to John's website as well, if you guys want to go get any of his stuff. And I'll also link to the first episode that I did with John, if you're like, who is this cat? I want to hear his background story, because he flew up to my house and we spent a few days together before I decided he actually wasn't batshit crazy and was actually really smart about this stuff, and I want to interview him. So I'll link to all that if you go to BenGreenfieldFitness.com/melatoninmiracle. It's BenGreenfieldFitness.com/melatoninmiracle. John, thanks for coming on the show, man. This has been fascinating.
Yeah, Ben, it's a pleasure. Pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, folks. Well, I'm Ben Greenfield, and I am grateful and honored to have shared with you how to put things up your butt for an hour. Signing out along with my friend, Dr. John Lawrence from Sarasota, Florida, from BenGreenfieldFitness.com. This is a really long outro. Have an amazing week.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at BenGreenfieldFitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.